It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
What the city is doing with the mobile home parks in Richmond since last year is targeted, proactive enforcement, which means it's not based on complaints. It is based on the city's discretion, their decision to go in and inspect all of the mobile homes in the city and issue notices of violation under the threat of condemnation, criminal sanctions, and things like that.
Attorney Phil Story at the Legal Aid Justice Center explains why the city's code enforcement program against mobile home parks violates fair housing law and why a fair housing complaint was filed with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And during this week's News You Can Use, we'll explain how acts of sexual violence must be reported on college campuses starting July 1st, 2015. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 267, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Starting July 1st, 2015, it will be a new day in the handling of sexual assault cases on college campuses in Virginia. Under Senate Bill 712, passed by the General Assembly in March and signed by the governor in April, any responsible employee who in the course of his or her employment obtains information that an act of sexual violence may have been committed against a student attending the institution or may have occurred on campus, in or on a non-campus building or property, or on public property, shall report such information to the Title IX coordinator as soon as practicable after addressing the immediate needs of the victim. The Title IX coordinator is then required to report that information to a review committee consisting of the Title IX coordinator, a law enforcement representative, and a student representative within 72 hours. If the review committee by consensus or the law enforcement representative, if the committee cannot reach consensus, determines that disclosure of the alleged act of sexual violence is necessary to protect the health and safety of the community, the law enforcement representative must disclose the information, including personally identifiable information, to the law enforcement agency responsible for investigating the alleged act. In addition, the governing board of each institution of higher education must establish a written memorandum of understanding with a local sexual assault crisis center or victim support center and adopt policies to provide victims with contact information about such centers. Each institution of higher education shall ensure that a victim of an alleged act of sexual violence is informed of the applicable federal and state confidentiality provisions governing information provided by a victim. Also, available on-campus resources and any unaffiliated community resources, including local domestic violence and sexual violence programs, the importance of seeking medical attention, the importance of collecting and preserving evidence, available law enforcement options for investigation and prosecution, available options for a protective order, available campus options for investigation and prosecution, and a victim's right to participate or decline to participate in any investigation to the extent permitted by state or federal law. In short, Instead of having colleges just sweep these things under the rug, colleges must consult with law enforcement, handle sexual assault cases in a routine and orderly manner, and assure that sexual assault victims are fully informed of all of their rights and all of their options. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Legal Aid Justice Center in Richmond, and we are speaking with staff attorney Phil Story, and we will be talking with Phil today about a complaint that the Legal Aid Justice Center recently filed with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development against the city of Richmond, alleging that the city has violated fair housing laws in its treatment of mobile home parks within the city, particularly as it affects Latino residents. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Thank you, Marty.
Now, to give our listeners some background, first of all, a lot would probably be surprised to know that there are substantial numbers of mobile home parks within the city limits of Richmond. Can you sort of explain where they are, how many there are, who lives there? Give us the background.
There are about 500 mobile homes in mobile home parks in the city of Richmond in 9 parks. They're all south of the river in South Richmond, mostly along Jefferson Davis Highway, and with a couple along Midlothian Turnpike and one off of Hull Street. So there are 9 of them. 4 of them are very small, so under 20 units each. 4 of them are sizable, like 100 units each, and one of them has about 60 units in it. They've been around for a while. Some of them have been used as mobile home parks since shortly after World War II. The folks who live there are statistically largely Latino immigrants. We estimate about at least 70% of the residents are Latinos. And pretty much all cases, they're real low-income folks who don't have a whole lot of other housing options.
And tell us how these mobile home parks work.
So for the most part, most of the mobile home parks in Richmond are landlord-owned and the resident owns the home. So there are a few of the smaller ones that are entirely landlord-owned. So the residents that live there are tenants in the homes as well as on the lots. But for the most part, the landlord owns all of the land, rents individual lots to homeowners who own the homes that are on those lots. And in theory, a homeowner could then take their home, move it to a different lot, to a different park. In practice, where the homes are old, and many of the homes in the mobile home parks in Richmond are old, are 30, 40, 50 years old, in practice, can't move them easily. It costs thousands of dollars to move a mobile home, and it would be difficult for, especially for the older ones, to get a certificate of occupancy if you tried to move it to a new park.
And what is this certificate of occupancy that you're talking about?
Code enforcement in different localities have a role in making sure that when somebody installs a mobile home on a lot, that everything is installed correctly, the utilities are connected correctly, that basically that it's done in a safe manner so people can live there. Before 1976, there were no standards, safety or code standards for the construction or maintenance of mobile homes. And so homes that are older than that, a municipality, certainly the city of Richmond, but other municipalities too, probably are not going to allow you to install that on a lot. So, but there's a role for the municipality to make sure, to inspect and make sure that everything is done correctly when your mobile home is installed on a new lot.
Now, assume a mobile home has been on a lot for years and years and years. Does the city have any role at all in inspecting that mobile home from time to time?
Code Enforcement Office has the authority to enforce the Virginia Maintenance Code, which is part of the Uniform Statewide Building Code. Typically, the way when that happens is when a neighbor complains about the homeowner next door and the city will come and has a specific complaint that says, you know, I'm afraid this home is unsafe. The city will come out and inspect it and cite the violations and give the owner an opportunity to repair the home. What the city is doing with the mobile home parks in Richmond since last year is targeted proactive enforcement, which means it's not based on complaints. It is based on the city's discretion, their decision to go in and inspect all of the mobile homes in the city and issue notices of violation under the threat of condemnation, criminal sanctions, and things like that.
Now, with all of the rental housing in Richmond, we certainly know that a great deal of it, a lot of it is in poor condition. So why is the city doing what they're doing and making a special effort to inspect these mobile homes?
So what the city says is that there are conditions in the mobile home parks that should be addressed, safety issues and things like that. The city has responded over the last few years to some fires in mobile home parks, not a lot, but the city responded to those fires, was concerned about some of the conditions that they saw. And so what the city says is that the reason for these, for this targeted enforcement is because they're especially concerned about the safety of the residents in these mobile home parks. We don't think that's the only reason why the city is going in. And the allegations that we submitted to HUD in the administrative complaint, we think that there are indications that the city wants to get rid of mobile home parks completely. And frankly, that the city is perhaps less concerned about the fate of the residents, the vast majority of them being Latinos and other minorities, but mostly Latinos, that the city is less concerned about what happens to them than they should be or might be with other communities.
So what exactly is the city doing? Are they making an effort to actually inspect all 500 or so mobile homes that are in these 9 mobile home parks within the city limits? And what authority do they have to just go in unannounced, without a complaint, and without obviously a search warrant to perform an inspection like this on somebody's private property?
So the city has stated that they are going to inspect all of the mobile home parks in the city limits. They began in, I think it was February or March, probably I think February of last year, with Rudd's Trailer Park on Jefferson Davis Highway. They said that that was had the worst conditions, and so that was where they were going to start. Then this March, they went into Mobile Town on Old Midlothian Turnpike. But they have stated publicly for at least a year that they're going to go to every mobile home park in the city as part of this campaign. So in terms of authority, it is it's kind of interesting. So Legal Aid Justice Center got involved with the Rudd's Trailer Park community a little while after the initial inspections and after the residents had received their notices of violation. The notice of violation describes what specific violations of the code that the inspectors identified and what you have to do to fix that. Interestingly, all of the notices of violation that have been given out have been in English only, even though the vast majority of the people receiving them don't speak English, don't read English. So the city this last spring announced that they were going to go into Mobile Town as well. And so we actually met with many of the residents of Mobile Town, Mobile Home Park on Old Midlothian, and discussed these very issues with them, what the authority is that the city has, what they're going to be looking for, how the inspections had gone in Rudd's Trailer Park on Jefferson Davis Highway, and also the rights of the residents to not let the inspectors in if they didn't want them to come in. Completely up to the residents whether they want to do that. We provided them with flyers that they could put on their doors if they did not want to give consent to have their homes inspected. And many of them actually posted the flyers on their doors. The city can, if consent is withheld to enter the home for inspection, the city can get an inspection warrant. But the first legal requirement for getting an inspection warrant is that the code enforcement office has to receive a complaint from somebody describing a specific condition in a home that or in a property that is that a risk for the health or safety of the residents or the community. So it has to be complaint driven. And so far the city has said that they want that they were going to get warrants to enter the homes that did not let them in, but so far they haven't done that.
So it seems that the city is essentially taking advantage of not only people's ignorance of their legal rights to refuse an inspection, but also the language barrier that may very well exist.
Definitely. And one of the things that concerns us, is that the city for many of these inspections will bring police, uniformed, armed police escorts with them. And so one of the things that happened at Mobile Town, where we were able to advise the residents about their rights. Some of the residents had decided they're not going to let the inspectors in, but when the inspectors went back with armed police officers in, you know, plain view backing them up, the residents assumed that if they didn't let them in, they would be arrested, and so they did give them consent. The city knows or should know, the city knows that Latino immigrants are unlikely to want to get into an encounter with law enforcement, and are more likely to defer to authority than many other communities. And so that was, we viewed that as essentially a threat, a coercive way to get in the homes.
And just following up on that, I don't want you to reveal any secrets, but I would assume that a substantial number of the residents in these mobile home parks may be undocumented people and have fears as a result of that?
We assume so. We don't ask our clients, for the most part, what their immigration status is. Of course, many or most of the children that live there and many of these families have big families. The kids are going to be U.S. citizens for the most part. Many of the adults have some sort of immigration status or citizenship. But yeah, we assume that there's a substantial number that probably does not have valid immigration status.
And now in the situation where an inspection has been done, what type of problems are they finding, and what's the process that the city requires the residents to go through in order to remedy those or to dispute those?
Right. Well, that's one of the you've identified a couple of the things that concern us and that is really frustrating. So one is that the notices that somebody gets, so an inspector will come, they will inspect, then they will deliver a notice of violations, which lists the code provisions that have been violated and what the resident needs to do to remedy those. It also advises the recipient that there is an appeal process. The information about that is minimal, and it ends up being pretty difficult to appeal. We have appealed for a couple of the residents, one of the provisions that a couple of the residents were cited for in Mobile Town, but it was a very difficult process, far more difficult than it ought to be, and we speak English. So if you don't speak English, as far as we can tell, the residents were never informed in a language that they could understand that they actually have appeals rights or how to exercise those rights to appeal, that any time they disputed one of the violations that the inspectors would say, come down to our office, we'll talk about it and explain it to you. But in the meantime, the deadline for appealing that runs. So that's one thing for disputing the violations. The other thing is that some of the violations that people are cited for, well, one of them that is very common, especially at Rudd's Trailer Park, but also at Mobile Town, the city would cite a homeowner for not having a central heating system. The code, the Virginia Maintenance Code, requires that a landlord who rents a dwelling to a tenant must provide heat and cannot provide heat only with space heaters. Virginia, when they adopted the model code, international model code, eliminated the requirement that owner-occupied dwellings have to have certain kinds of heating systems, central heating systems. But the city code enforcement continues to try to impose these extra requirements on people, which, of course, you know, a central heating system costs thousands of dollars. And if you're living in a mobile home park because for economic reasons you don't have a few thousand dollars to throw around. The other thing is that for almost any modification that anyone has done, including even just replacing windows or replacing doors, the city inspectors are saying that the residents have to get a structural engineer to come to do a report with calculations and drawings and stamped drawings in order for them to comply with the maintenance code. Well, first of all, there aren't a lot of structural engineers clamoring to do work on 50-year-old mobile homes. And if you could get one to do that kind of work, it would be a couple of $1,000s. And that's not even actually making the repairs. That's just upfront costs. So, and when they went into RUDS and cited the violations there for unpermitted, uninspected modifications to the electrical system, similarly, they stated on the notices of violation that the residents had to get a report from an engineer to be able to pass inspection on the electrical system. So we think that the city is creating unjustified barriers for people to basically discourage them from trying to comply and encourage them to just give up and leave.
So tell us about the administrative complaint to HUD. I know part of the reason, maybe the main reason, is that this targeted enforcement is having a disparate impact on the Latino population. What do we mean by that?
So what we mean by that is that about 0.4% of the white families living in the city of Richmond live in mobile home parks. Something like 9.5% of the Latino families living in Richmond live in mobile home parks. So in the city of Richmond, about less than 7% of the population is Latino. In the mobile home parks, more than 70%, we estimate, is Latino. So the Fair Housing Act is the federal law that makes it illegal to discriminate against somebody in the provision of housing for certain reasons, for their ethnicity, their race, their national origin, things like that. So what we see is that the city, in going after mobile home parks, which sounds on its face like a very neutral way of identifying types of dwellings to target, that in fact that has a hugely disproportionate impact on making housing unavailable to Latinos in ways that it doesn't make housing unavailable to African Americans or to white residents of the city. So that was what we in this administrative complaint, we're asking HUD to investigate and see if the city has in fact violated the Fair Housing Act. And then because HUD gives money to the city every year, you know, several million dollars, HUD has some things that they can do to remedy that situation, to encourage the city to actually observe the law.
And has a response been received from HUD yet? And if not, when can we expect one to be received?
So the process, when you submit an administrative complaint to HUD, is they do an intake process, make sure that the complaint, that they have all the information that they need, that on the face of it, yes, it looks like it is something that, if the allegations are correct, it would be relevant for the Fair Housing Act and for the HUD's enforcement authority. So HUD is still in the process of finishing that, but last week and the week before, they had people from their regional office in Philadelphia, where we had filed this complaint, in Richmond to interview the complainants. So the complaint was filed in late April on behalf of 37 residents of Rudd's Trailer Park and Mobile Town Mobile Home Park. So HUD was in town for a week and a half to interview as many of those complainants as they could, because they wanted to create a separate individual complaint for each resident. And so we are in the process of sort of tying up loose ends with those complaints. And then HUD will, it's our understanding that HUD will give them, you know, a docket number and then reach out to the city to respond to the allegations, not investigate, not start the deep investigation, but interview the code folks at code enforcement and things like that. So HUD has indicated that it could take a few months for the process to work its way through. But once HUD starts the actual investigation, then that's where hopefully we can get the city's attention a little more than we've been able to over the last year.
And it sounds like HUD is taking this very seriously.
It sure seems like it. Yeah, I mean, they spent a lot of time, folks from out of town, interviewing the residents, and so we're hopeful that they do.
Well, thank you very much. We have been talking with Phil Story. He is a staff attorney at the Legal Aid Justice Center here in Richmond about an administrative complaint that was filed a couple of months ago with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, alleging that the city of Richmond is violating fair housing in its targeted enforcement of mobile home parks, which are disproportionately Latino. Thank you so much for being on the show, Phil.
Thank you, Marty.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link. Then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Buying and selling a house is the biggest financial transaction in the lives of most people. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when real estate attorney Stuart Simons explains what real estate lawyers do and why everyone buying or selling a house needs one. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.